You know that discussion about what came first, the chicken or the egg?
Right.
Well, we had a very, very unique chicken or the egg predicament based on the divorce of the Tom Brady and the Bill Belichick. And there was a lot of unneeded, unnecessary suspense that surrounded. Was it, Brady making Belichick look good, or Belichick making Brady look good, or was it complimentary, or, you know, what was it? And I think we got a really solid answer. It was Tom Brady.
Yep.
I hate to say it, but yeah, I think we have a really solid answer that it was Tom Brady.
Is it fair for me to quote Omar? Come at the GOAT, you best not miss.
You are now listening to the Duo Sports and Stuff Podcast. Here are your hosts, Deontay Epps and Dane Beasley.
Hello and happy new year. Welcome to episode 31 of the Duo Sports and Stuff Podcast. My name is Deontay Epps, joined by my brother, as always, Dane Beasley.
Your boy.
Your boy Dane. Man, it's a new year. We back.
New year.
How you feeling, man? How's the break? How's everything going, my guy?
It's really good, man. We had a lot of time to just get some rest. When I say we, me and myself, my wife and Langston, we had a lot of time to get rest, a lot of time to make a lot of memories. And of course, a lot of time just to do what we do best. And that's just stay inside the house, watch TV, read books, and chase around a 15-month-old. So, that's been our life.
He's sleeping through the night now, right?
Something like that. We've been trying to sleep train the past month. To try to make sure that he sleeps through the night, but some days he will, some days he's not. But he'll wake up maybe once or twice. As you can see, the bags under my eyes. He'll wake up once or twice a night. Sometimes he won't wake up at all. He'll just sleep through the night. But that's like 2 times out of 30 days. So we'll take what we can get, though.
For sure. That was on my mind because a coworker of mine today, he came in, we were talking, catching up, and he was like, he has like his son. Probably about the same age as Langston. And he was like, man, he slept through the night like for the first time last night. So I'm like, whoa, like that. I feel like that's a big step for first time parents going through that, man. So I feel you. But it's definitely great to be back with you on this. It's not like we don't talk to each other almost every day.
I haven't talked to him since last time we recorded. All right. You got some new glasses, man. Yeah. Nice to see you.
You know,
man.
My Tony,
you're doing good for yourself.
My
there.
Tony Starks, you know.
Tony Stank.
Edith.
All right.
But yeah, you know, we've been kicking it on the PlayStation, enjoying that, and mainly staying in the house and for 2020 in general, before we get into the topics, man, it's just, we talked about it throughout all of our episodes last year, how crazy 2020 was with the pandemic. Yeah. Black Lives Matter, obviously, with so many deaths going on and stuff like that. It was just a tough year all around. And I felt like doing this podcast was therapy for me. And
yeah.
I know for you
absolutely.
To get our mind off of.
I'm speaking for you. Absolutely.
Yeah. For everything that was going on. And hopefully this year could be one that we can see as a bounce back year, as a year of growth, a year of faith. And man, just doing what we do and happy to be back with you, man. Yeah. And happy to get this thing started. And today we're back with sports and. The regular season ended last night, and but let me ask you this, man.
What a freaking mess. What a and you know what? I don't even know what you're about to ask, but I'm just going to assume that I know what you're about to say.
Yeah, okay.
It's not even so much as we need to be, or any fan, regardless of what team you root for, is you shouldn't be disappointed in the particular team. You should be disappointed in the league for allowing things like this to take place. And by things,
that's what I was going to ask you.
Unauthentic tanking. That's what people should be upset about in the way that the NFL and the NBA, rather, that have just stood by and done nothing. Now you're asking me the wrong questions if you're asking, well, Dane, what should they do in this situation? I don't know. But not allowing, just standing by and being bystanders, allowing this thing to happen creates a really it can create a really bad culture within your fan bases. And we've seen that on full display. Like, plenty of people were chiming in that I didn't expect to say two things about, like Brian Westbrook saying stuff. I was like, whoa. Like, Brian, like, you got him talking about what the hell's going on, then you know that something's messed up. So, I mean, on one side, it's jacked up what the Eagles did. On the other side, it's like, man, if you're going to be petty all the way. You feel me? So,
or I mean, you could take it as, you could take it as like people or teams like the Giants that were upset, like, handle your business. Yeah. You lost 10 games this year. You know what I'm saying? Like, being down.
Who said Jabril Peppers? He said we had 16 different opportunities to, you know, take care of business, and that's on us at the end of the day. That's a perfect response. But, you know, everybody's going to have their opinion.
Right. You could flip the coin. And yeah, I mean, it could always be, like you said, it could always be the shoe on the other foot. Like, all right, if you took care of business here, we wouldn't have to come down to the last game hoping and wishing. And I mean, that's always going to be team that come down to that. But yeah, that was pretty interesting as far as, I mean, you could see even Jalen Hurts, they showed him talking on the sideline, apparently mouthing this producers ain't right.
Or what's the dude that does the camera cutting? Is that the producer that does that? Like, producer's messy as hell, bro. Like, all them different moments, he was like, anytime like you see like a duck, or pretty much every pass was like a duck from Nate, but they just cut to, you know, they cut to him on the sideline. Yeah. Man, I wonder what's going on in that mind of his. And I was like, y'all so messy. Yeah. Boy, y'all messy.
And Chris Collinsworth ripped up Doug Peterson as well. Yeah. Like, hey, man, this ain't right. Poor Doug. He's like, Al, I wouldn't do this, Al. I was like,
you know, Al, I have no idea how you could stomach a performance like this.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
I don't know. I don't have the answers, but I know that's not the one.
I wonder. I don't expect the NFL to do anything about this. It's not like we see this often. Like, maybe in basketball, you can see. Well, there. I mean, you have
some players on purpose, right? Scratches.
Well, players that,
unfortunately.
Yeah, and then you have those. Like, how can you regulate it as far as who sits? Like, especially if you have those teams like maybe the Chiefs or even, for example, the Steelers that sat players that, you know, they're in the playoffs. So they're sitting players for a reason, like resting them up. Like, you just say, hey, if you're in the playoff picture.
I got a good idea.
Okay.
A good idea. And this is going to sound crazy. And I literally just thought about this. The only way that you can ensure that this type of thing isn't taken advantage of, oh, we have a player that needs to sit because they're hurt. The only way that you would prevent that from happening is if you had a centralized team of doctors. That meaning completely unbiased NFL, similar to how they send out officials to every game. Uh-huh. They'd have to have a set number of NFL doctors that were responsible for doing these physicals and ensuring that the player that, you know, has a contusion to their quad is actually out because of a contusion to their quad and not because of the team is hunting for a top five pick. That sounds crazy, but it's one thing that I just randomly thought about might be a good idea. I don't know how they would regulate that. I don't know how that would work as far as earning trust from teams and stuff like that, but sitting down doing nothing is not going to help. Especially, it gives the league a bad, I mean, it already has a pretty bad image, but the stuff they let go, but it just looks bad.
Right. I think it's probably one of those one-off situations. We probably won't, like, if this happened again, you probably won't see it for a while. I don't expect the NFL to do anything about it, particularly with everything that's going on. They got COVID to worry about and being proud of not canceling a game this year, despite everything that's going on. That's a whole nother story.
That's stupid. But you brought up a really good point. The NFL brought this on themselves from flexing this game.
Yeah.
This shouldn't have been the primetime game.
Yeah, why was it? Why? I didn't get that at all.
This should have been a game where either team could have made the playoffs. They had right after the Eagles game to figure that out. In week 16, when the Eagles got eliminated from the playoffs, they could have decided then to go ahead and switch them out and put in a team that, I don't know, it just, they had backfired on them. But take it away, Mr. Hosa.
So the regular season ended last night, and made our predictions a few episodes ago about who we thought would
before
be in.
Started.
yes, before the season started, who we thought would be in and likewise. And we're going to go over those and see how well we did.
Just to see how wrong Deontay was.
So I'll go over my picks first. So my playoff teams in the NFC, I predicted the Seahawks, the Cowboys, the Packers, Saints, Rams, Vikings, Bucks. So I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 out of 7. Not bad. So I missed the Cowboys and the Vikings, and instead Washington made it and Chicago.
And then
for the NFC, Dane, you pick the Saints, the Bucks, the Packers, the Cardinals, the Seahawks, Cowboys, and Giants. So you were 4 out of 7? 4 out of 7. You chose Cowboys, Giants, and Cardinals. So we like that game.
And for the record, I picked the Giants to win the NFC East, not the Cowboys.
Yeah.
I had the Cowboys getting in by I had the Cowboys getting in by pubic hair, but that's
right. I picked the Cowboys because I remember saying that y'all could get in with Andy Dalton, and I remember you saying, "All right, bro, we're gonna see."
That's we both were wrong.
You don't have to say it. I mean, you're not wrong,
right?
Nah, I was horribly wrong.
And so we'll go over predictions of the games in a minute, but we'll flip to the AFC. AFC side, I had the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Bills, the Patriots, Steelers, Texans, and Broncos. And what, that's 4 out of 7 again?
4 out of 7.
4 out of 7. Of course, that favorite team stuff, I ended up putting the Broncos in. Had a horrible year. Dane, you picked the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Bengals, Titans, Patriots, Broncos, and Bills. So that's 1, 2,
that's 4 as well.
4 out of 7. So we both missed out on the Colts getting in. And I think we mixed up a bunch of them, but the Browns as well. Oh, neither of us put the Browns in it, which finally they got
that
over the hump.
Should have been a red flag. Yeah. Shout out to them, man.
Baker Mayfield got those guys in. So any surprise? Is that your surprise for team that you didn't think would make it in? Out of all the predictions we made, who surprised you that got in that you didn't think would get in?
I picked 2, the Browns and the Redskins.
The Washington football team.
For sure. Oh, my bad.
Nah, you good.
How politically incorrect of me. No, the football team, formerly known as the Washington Redskins.
Gotcha.
Or the Washington Slurs. I knew going in that they would have probably one of the best front sevens in the league. I just didn't know what they had at quarterback. And we found out last night what they had at quarterback, which I'm going to go with a first round exit. I'm getting ahead of myself, but
yeah. But salute to Alex Smith though, man. Comeback player of the year for sure. Yeah, we discussed that, but go ahead.
Oh yeah, he got that. Yeah, it's in the bag. So I wasn't doubting their team as a whole, but just their offense. I didn't know what the quarterback situation was. They got some nice young weapons on offense, though.
Yeah.
Some nice, I mean, you got Scary Terry. I already said, it's my track record a year ago, that Terry's going to be the best wide receiver in the NFC East.
Yeah.
In a matter of years. And
Logan Thomas coming out of nowhere, balling out.
Former quarterback.
Yeah.
Logan Thomas. Or I guess a former athlete turned quarterback, turned tight end, because he was a recruited as an athlete. ATH, Swiss Army knife. But he made a hell of a catch.
Man, I mean, that one in the end zone? It was one of the linebackers.
It was nasty. I was like, man, you can't defend that no better. Like, and the ball placement was ugly, but he just contorted his body in such a way and then landed and just held on to it. So,
right.
Shout out to him, man. Take it away, Chief. I forgot where we were going with that.
Please. You said you had 2 teams that surprised you. Washington.
Oh, the Browns.
Browns.
The Browns and Washington. But the Browns, obviously, because the Browns are going to Browns. Not because of anything in particular, but just mainly because the front office and coaching is why I decided the Browns
The history of the Browns. We know, like, almost everybody, even Browns fans, thought last night or Sunday night that, you know, they were going to give up this lead to undermanned Steelers team. And the Browns curse, Cleveland curse, so you will, what happened again. But they held on, but they'll meet the Steelers again coming up this Sunday. And we'll get to our predictions about now. Before that, I'll say, since you said the Browns, I'm going to go with the Bears. Just because
the Bears,
Mitch Trubisky. Dang. But if you look
at that's the same thing as the freaking football team.
Yeah,
you know what the rest of the team is.
Yeah,
what is going on at quarterback?
Right, and that the quarterback play was just enough to get in. I mean, the NFC really didn't have many great teams. You got Washington getting in at 7-9, the Bears getting in at 8-8. The Rams were 10-6 too. That's you know what? The Rams, their defense,
the Cardinals spot, yeah, man.
And yeah, and so the Cardinals were at one point probably 6. I think they were 6-2 this year in control of the NFC West, yeah. But they just faltered at the end, man. And that's a clip. I saw a tweet that was talking about Cliff Kingsbury, how he's had Kyler Murray, he's had Patrick Mahomes, and another quarterback, but he's never won 8 games in a season or more than 8 games.
Common denominator,
yeah.
The common denominator is the coach. So,
and go ahead.
You got to understand the kind of privilege that he has to come on as the head coach and to draft a quarterback.
Yeah,
with your top pick after the team has already selected a quarterback in the previous draft.
Yeah, with Kyler Murray, what we haven't seen at this point was him actually getting contact, like getting hit, and you know that little body of his is, you know, having to take on those hits, and you saw him struggle.
Take a shot. As if you and Scott didn't learn already.
No play, my man. I'm just saying,
the best high school player of all time.
This is an attribute to the team struggling, him taking hits, my friend. Okay, I'm done with the Kyler Murray slander. I'm done with the Kyler Murray slander.
You're done with the little stuff. Fighting over some little stuff.
Let's get into these predictions, bro. All right. So we got the first game on Saturday will be the Colts visiting the Buffalo Bills. Man, who you got?
I like what I see from the Colts defense, but I just don't think – I would love for Phillip to have some sort of success in the playoffs that ends with him being in a Super Bowl or anything past the conference championship, anything leading up to the conference championship. I just do not see them making it past the Bills because the Bills have been rolling. And more importantly, the average Josh Allen that we've been accustomed to seeing, he looks like he's over that hump, or he's climbing over that hill of mediocrity and heading into top 10 territory. I'm being honest. So with that being said, the defense has never been the problem. To me, honestly, the defense has never been the problem. It's always just the offense stalling. I mean, he puts up one of those 12 for 32 and 190-yard games with a touchdown and 2 picks and 3 fumbles type of deal. Like,
right.
I said all that to say this. I think the Buffalo Bills will take this dub.
I agree with you, man. Like you said, Josh Allen has been on fire, especially the last few weeks of COVID season. Diggs is like the – what are you saying?
I was shaking my head because Vikings fans should be really salty right now. Because
oh, yeah.
He was right. The end of the grievance, he's right. He wasn't the problem.
Yeah.
And we only got one season of data to sample here, but – one team's in the playoffs and the other team, you know.
And I'm sitting here looking at Josh Allen's numbers, man. He could quietly – I mean, he might not win it. It might be Patrick. Yeah, I'm just saying he could be in the little conversation getting some votes. He had 4,500 yards.
Offensive player of the year, maybe.
Yeah, or no, that's probably going to Derrick Henry. Or Derrick Henry.
Probably Devontae Adams, maybe. Or Derrick Henry.
Maybe toss-up one of them. But – anyway, he had a great year. Obviously, career year. Stephon Diggs, nobody seems like can guard this guy. I don't see anybody on Indianapolis that could stay with him step for step. They just got too many weapons on offense. Defense is just locked and loaded. They plan in Buffalo. It's going to be cold. Phillip Rivers not going to be ready for that cold. And, I mean, the Colts have a great running game, but – I think Buffalo's defense is just going to be too much. I got Buffalo as well in that one. Next game, Rams at Seahawks. And when they interview Aaron Donald and told him that they were playing Seattle, he said, that's who we wanted. So what do you think is going to happen?
What you wish for. I love Aaron Donald. In my opinion, he's the best player in the NFL. However, the Seahawks playing at home in the playoffs with Russ coming off a very average game, he's going to bounce back. There's nothing much else to say about that one.
I'm a roll with Seattle too, man. Jared Goff, we don't know how healthy he is. We don't know what the hell he is.
Even after all these years, we still do not know what he is.
Yeah. I think,
all three of y'all.
I think Jared Goff, like, even like you said with that and also with the injury coming off, I think it's his thumb that's bothering him. That's going to be kind of iffy. Throwing hand, yes. And then, Seattle at home in the playoffs, I'm not betting against that. Russell Wilson at home in the playoffs, I'm not betting against that. Yeah. I mean, I know it's not fans there, but right. It's going to be another cold.
That mentality of that atmosphere.
Yeah. And it'll probably be another cold and wet, weird game. I think this game will be close, though. I'm not saying it's going to be a blow. I think it'll be close because Seattle's played pretty much all their games close this year. But I got Seattle taking it. And then prime time that night, Saturday night, Tampa Bay visiting Washington to take on the football team. We mentioned Alex Smith, comeback player of the year. All the great things he's done with the comeback. Nobody expected him to come back from that crazy, nasty leg injury. The defense is playing well. Chase Young, probably defensive rookie of the year, but going against the GOAT, you're going against Tom Brady. Still trying to prove himself to the naysayers. You know, I've had my things to say about Tom Brady because, you know, he's done Denver wrong so many times before, but I'm not going
to
be dumb.
Too many times to count.
Exactly. I'm not going to be dumb here, bro. I'm going with Tampa Bay. It is interesting to see, and I have not yet seen or heard anything about it yet, Dane, about Mike Evans.
Yeah, about him, if he's going to play or not.
Yeah, I don't know how healthy he is, but I think it won't make a difference. I think Tampa Bay got
it. They have enough weapons to be okay.
Then Antonio Brown came. Yeah.
That's say what you want about him and his distractions and all that stuff, but the dude can flat out play.
And I have a weird feeling Gronk is going to have like a 2-touchdown game. Like he just going to go off. For some reason, I think that's going to be something serious. So
interesting fact though.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh,
go ahead, bro.
Finish your thought. No.
Go ahead.
I was going to say is there are a number of quarterbacks as far as stats are concerned, when they have 4 touchdowns, 0 picks. And I'm pulling up that stat because I saw it earlier and I was like, this is very interesting. So quarterbacks who throw 4 touchdowns and 0 interceptions, right? What their records are. Drew Brees, he's 24-2.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers is 22-2. Peyton Manning was 18-0. Brett Favre was 10-2. Ben Roethlisberger is 11-1. Tom Brady has 25 games like that, and he's won all 25 games where he's thrown 4 touchdowns, 0 picks.
Yeah.
So if he doesn't throw any picks – and he has 4 touchdowns.
It's a dub.
I'm just going to say it's a dub based on the data. These are regular season samples. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it has anything to do with playoffs, but I don't have to go with the datum.
I saw another cool little fact that, you know, it's kind of like, dang, makes you think. This will be Tom Brady's first road wild card start. Like he had never played on the road in a wild card game in his career before.
Yeah, and it's weird because we don't there's one bye now or one team with the bye now instead of the two, and it's just like, yeah, you're right, but yes,
yeah
they were the shame on you.
They were the fifth
shame on you for doing
that. So, yeah. What, you didn't like the one team bye now? You don't like that?
we knew it was about money.
Of course. I'm not gonna applaud them
for, you know, trying to, in all fairness. No, this has nothing to do with fairness. It has everything to do with more money.
And as you can see, a lot of the broadcast, like one of the broadcasts, are on Nickelodeon. I mean, it's going to be on the regular sports one, but they have one on Nickelodeon for the kids and another one over here.
They have like on the top 25 most viewed live, whatever. They have so many. They have like the majority of the spots football does. It's just that's going to remain like that, regardless of the protests.
Yeah,
they shouldn't be kneeling. Regardless of how you feel about that,
still racking it in.
It's like they're still crushing the buildings as far as views are concerned.
Yeah.
So
we both got Tampa Bay to close out that Saturday. Let me get to the next one.
Three games on a Saturday and three games on Sunday. It's going to be
super wild card. The first game on Sunday, 12 o'clock noon Central, Baltimore at Tennessee, rematch of last year's AFC Divisional with Tennessee upsetting Baltimore. You want to go first on this one?
Oh, yeah. I'm going Ravens. I want to see, and this is only for, this is my selfish reasons, I want to see a good quarterback divisional. I want to see a good divisional game in the AFC. And to get that, I need the Ravens to meet up with, you know this team, the Kansas City Chiefs, you know them quite well.
I'm familiar.
So I want to see that good quarterback matchup. So in order for that to happen, I'm going to need the Ravens to knock off the Titans. I don't know what the hell they're going to do to stop Derrick Henry. No, they're going to have to slow him down because they're not going to stop him. That dude is a madman.
Yeah.
He's the most consistent running back in the league.
Yeah.
So. Yeah,
I was the Ravens. I was on the fence for this one. And then I watched. Now, I know yesterday, Sunday's games were significant for some teams, but the Titans gave up a lot of points to the Texans. I know the Texans got Deshaun Watson, but that kind of was like, I know the Titans like supposed to. I mean, they got King Henry, Derrick Henry.
They're supposed to have a defensive-minded head coach.
Yeah, that's kind of – and then the Ravens rushed for like 400-some yards on Sunday. I think Lamar Jackson is going to have – like this is the game I know that Baltimore has won since last year.
He has a really crappy record in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And people are going to remember that. And
right.
He's got to show out.
I think he's going to be out to prove that, you know – they're here to stay as far as Baltimore, right? And I got Baltimore as well, man. I think it'll be a close one. Like back in the day, those old Baltimore, Ray Lewis, Eddie George, Steve McNair games where it's like hard hitting, receivers getting lit up over the middle, like pop, one of those games. Yeah, exactly. A low scoring, maybe 21-20 type games, but
you know what you have to do.
I think the Ravens got that one. 3:40 on Sunday, the Bears visit the Saints. Drew Brees' last playoff attempt hurrah, farewell tour, if you will. They're taking on the Chicago Bears. I'm going with the Saints here, just because I think they'll have enough offense or better offense than what the Bears will put out there on Sunday. So, I mean, hopefully Alvin Kamara can come back. They don't know. He's out with COVID right now. But even without him, I think they have the weapons to get over the top.
And your Michael Thomas back, don't they?
I think so.
Yeah. I'm going to go against the grain on this one. I don't think the Bears have anything to lose. So this is desperation at this point. I'm going to go with the Bears. Even though I believe they're going to lose, I'm going to still go with the Bears.
Okay. Upset special. So you think Mitch going to go off or what?
Mitch? Who said anything about Mitch?
Nick Foles? What are you talking about? You know something? You got a source?
Just to say I have an inside source. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, I'm going to go with the underdog just because they're not going to fall off.
There's always that one crazy game where the underdog just wins. Yeah. It could be this one. I respect
it. David Montgomery is going to have like 38 carries for like 210 yards.
I like him so much, man. I didn't like him in the Big 12. You know, he's going against my Bears.
Oh, yeah, of course not. He's running all over.
But no, he's and they got another one coming out of Iowa State. Breece Hall is going to be a beast too. But I don't knock the pick, man. It's always one of those games where something crazy or upset happens, and that would suck for Drew Brees to go out like that, though. Playoff
tour, got to do it.
Yeah, so we'll see. And then prime time Sunday night, the last wild card playoff game, rematch of Week 17's finale. The Cleveland Browns will visit the fully charged with a week rest for Big Ben. He comes back. Cleveland, Pittsburgh. Who you got?
I'm gonna go with the Brownies. Listen, they have some young cats on their team, but more importantly, they're playing Ben Roethlisberger. So
yeah,
I think the Browns have a pretty good chance of coming out on top of this game. They have to do what they do best, and that's keep the ball on the ground, keep Pittsburgh's offense off the field. Not because Pittsburgh's offense is deadly, but it's to the only way or the primary way that Pittsburgh can win is through the air, because they have so many dynamic weapons on that offense. But if they can limit Ben Roethlisberger being on the field and force them out of their game plan, I think it'll be a dub. And plus, they can control the clock and time of possession, so they can stick with that as long as box score watchers out there, the moment we see Baker Mayfield with 20 attempts or 25 plus attempts, that's how you know the Browns are losing.
Yeah.
But we want to see 20, 30, 40 carries from the running backs to take them to the promised land. That's right. All I got to say about that, Chief.
I'm going to go with Pittsburgh, man. I think just having Big Ben on the squad, I know they kind of limped to the finish line, but I think the week's rest will help him. I think Cleveland, while I respect Cleveland getting to the playoffs, I think they'll be in a more happy to be here type thing rather than, okay, let's go do what we got to do. I'm going to give them the happy to be here move. And I think Pittsburgh will pull it off. It'll be a close one, probably down to the last drive. Whether it's Cleveland or Pittsburgh, I think Pittsburgh comes out on top.
Yeah, I'll hold you to that, my boy.
Yeah. So obviously we'll revisit these next week. And Dane, when we had our predictions, you had Packers Chiefs and I had Seahawks Chiefs for the Super Bowl. Do you still say Packers Chiefs?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
The reason I say this is because one, the offensive power that we have from Kansas City, who's going to be able to keep up with that? They're going to be rested, firing on all cylinders. And not only does Andy Reid have something to prove, but so does, Eric Bieniemy.
Right.
So he could possibly be a head coach in one of these discussions this time next year. And the best way for him to solidify his resume would be to, of course, make it back to the Super Bowl. And of course, Aaron Rodgers is a man on a mission. And he has, I think, one of the best three receivers in the league as his sidekick in Davante Adams. So his play has been speaking for itself. He is a red zone nightmare. So I fully anticipate, I would hope to see a Patrick Mahomes versus Aaron Rodgers showdown. So that's what I got. What about you, man? I see you. Let's check notes. Have gone with the Seahawks and division rival to the Broncos, Kansas City Chiefs. Is that correct?
Yeah, I picked Seahawks Chiefs.
Rooting for the enemy, huh?
I'm going to stick with the Seahawks Chiefs pick. I feel like there's always
bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off here.
Check it out. I think there's always that wild card team, right, that makes a run to the Super Bowl. Like, there's always been that team. New York Giants. you had the Patriots at one point. You had the Seahawks at one point. So I think Seahawks again will be that team that makes that crazy run to the Super Bowl. I got them knocking off the Packers eventually, but I'll go with Seahawks.
They were a wild card team that year, right?
Yes.
They went to the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Steelers. Yep.
Yes.
Yep. So, yeah. You got a point.
I'm gonna keep it that way, man. But yeah, we'll revisit these predictions next week on our next episode. And today we're recording on a Monday. This episode you'll probably hear on Tuesday. But the Monday after the regular season ends is always called Black Monday, Dane. And we already had the Texans fire their coach earlier in the season, as well as the Falcons. And then today, the Chargers, Jets, Jaguars, and the Lions had already fired their coach as well. But now there's six openings in the NFL. And I'll just give you a quick question. Out of all those teams and openings, if you're an NFL head coaching candidate, which team would you want to coach out of those six openings?
I'm going to a team with the most draft capital. I'm going to a team that with the biggest upside as far as the youth and youth in impactful positions. So my choice would be either Jacksonville or the Chargers. Yeah, I'd be fine with either one of those. Cause then you could always, you know, you could always beat up on the sorry teams in that division, the Chargers, the Broncos. That's two easy dubs every year.
Okay.
And of course, Jacksonville. I mean, who could say no to Trevor Lawrence and all that cap space? I think they have somewhere towards 70 or 80 million cap space and two first round picks. Mm-hmm. So
Urban Meyer. That's what they
don't
saying.
Say that name around us, man.
That's what they like saying.
We don't like that. I hope not. Cause the first sign of trouble, somebody in his family is sick and he has to leave. Like, I'm good. I'm good on that. And I'm not even a Jacksonville fan, but Jacksonville has a lot of talent. A lot of talent. So shout out to Laviska Shenault Jr. So yeah, I mean, yeah. So there's that.
I'd probably go to Chargers too, man. Their defense is pretty stout. Justin Herbert this year has proved he's at least, you know, going to be a pretty good talent in the NFL. Got some question marks maybe in the running game as far as Austin Eckler's a good, like, kind of scat back, receiving back, but can he be like that every down back? It's probably a question mark there. But, I mean, you're in L.A., brand new stadium. You got a really stout defense. You got a good quarterback. You can't really – I mean, I feel like that's an attractive job for a head coach. I'm looking at these other openers. Jets, obviously, they got a lot of bad stuff going on as far as, you know, the front office. Detroit, I don't see – like, these teams have a lot of issues. The Texans, maybe because you have Deshaun Watson. But other than that, you really don't have much. So I'd pick LA, the Chargers for sure is the most attractive position. Jacksonville is up there as well. I probably put them at number two with the number one pick and possibly having Trevor Lawrence, the cap room, as you mentioned. So we'll see where the pieces land. Hopefully Eric Bieniemy gets I've heard he's got interviews lined up. So hopefully he gets his well-deserved opportunity. I believe Robert Saleh is he a minority candidate as well?
Yeah.
So hopefully these
going around today too.
Right. So hopefully these guys get the opportunities they deserve to lead these franchises and provide more opportunities for minority candidates because of them being a minority candidate, it's because they are qualified and they have earned that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That spot. So we'll see how that goes. You're repping the Ohio State Buckeyes shirt, and They could, what you could say is an upset they pulled, knocking off Clemson, man. How, what did you expect it? Because I know we talked about a little bit how tough that game would be for Justin Fields, those guys playing only six games, and them, a lot of debate whether them being in the playoffs and stuff like that. But what did you think about the outcome of the game?
Yeah, we've had a conversation. As I'm an infant Buckeye fan, but I was very honest in saying, telling you, we talk all the time about it, but telling you as well as everyone else I talked to about college football, as an Ohio State fan, I didn't think they belonged in the college football playoff. It just, it seemed out of place. You have these teams that have played a number of games, and I know it's not their fault because of the Big Ten shutting down the way that it did, but at the same time, you want to make sure that you're providing an unbiased and fair opportunity to all the athletes or the athletes in the NCAA. And by doing
we
so,
some athletes.
and doing so, you ensure there's parity in the system. However, things often get political, unfortunately. So the college football playoff, in my opinion, it had two teams that shouldn't have been in there, Notre Dame and Ohio State. But fortunately, Ohio State, they showed up and showed out. More importantly, Justin Fields bounced back from that god-awful Big Ten championship game that he had. But it's going to be a hell of a game. I'm getting ahead of myself. It's going to be a hell of a game, Bama versus the Buckeyes. But at the same time, you have to admire not only coming back and playing the way that they did after losing in such a horrible way last year, but keeping their foot on the gas despite the adversity that they came in contact with, almost potentially losing out on their quarterback.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'm all happy about it. I was excited about it.
For sure.
As you could tell, I'm really excited. but you know,
yeah,
there's a lot of meat left on the bone. We still have a lot of work to do. And I'll see you,
January 11th.
Come on again. I'll see y'all January 11th.
seems like they didn't, like you said, they didn't let their foot off the gas from start to finish. They just dominated. Like Clemson, everybody was making that joke. It looked like Clemson was the 11th ranked team. And because, you know, Dabo Swinney had Ohio State ranked 11th in this poll. But yeah, man, what I took out of it was Justin Fields making this a conversation about the number one pick. As far as we know Trevor Lawrence is.
Yeah, you know, Trevor's going first, man.
We know. But
it's going to happen. Oh, my God. Go ahead. Take it away, Chief.
I like the fact that he played well to make us think twice about it, or even make GMs, scouts, those kind of people. And there's going to be a lot of combine stuff going on later that he can prove himself. But on the national stage, right, like that, where, you know, everybody's going against you, the underdog story where he came out and proved, took a big hit, looked like maybe some rib injuries going on. He toughened up.
Dude could have killed himself, man.
Putting his head down, that was crazy. But Justin Fields took the hit, stayed in the game, balled out. I mean, what more can you ask for? And then the Alabama game, you know, you could see from start to finish that they were elite levels ahead of Notre Dame. The score could have been way worse than 31-14. I'm looking at the score right now. I'm looking at the score right now, and I was like, that's all? But, I mean, it felt like they were up by 30 points.
We were talking about that, though. You, myself, and Alvin, like, hats off to Notre Dame because they put up way more points than I thought they would.
Yeah. Is Devontae Smith the Heisman winner on tomorrow? Yes. I think so, too.
Devontae Smith is the Heisman winner.
I hope they don't screw this up.
He's the most electrifying player. The most electrifying player. He's been on the team with what?
Three quarterbacks? Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, they'll say Heisman winners.
Oh, okay.
No. Let me backtrack. No, that's not true. It's not two Heisman winners. I don't know where I was going with that point. But he's been the most electrifying player that we've seen, period. And I finally found his player comparison. To me, he's a faster version of T.Y. Hilton.
Okay.
They have the same frame. I mean, they both are wizards at route running. both aggressive at the catch point, but he's just a faster version of him. And obviously that's, you know, apples and oranges, because one is a proven NFL wide receiver. The other is just a potential Heisman hopeful. But right. That's a conversation for another day.
Yeah,
Devonta Smith is...
To back up the Heisman argument for Devonta Smith, man, you know how they always say the Heisman winners have that moment. He had multiple as far as showing up in big games. Like against Notre Dame, 7 catches, 130, 3 touchdowns. Against Florida, SEC championship game, 15 catches, 184, 2 touchdowns. Against Auburn, 7 catches, 171, 2 touchdowns. Against LSU, 8 catches, 231, 2. It's just all the big games. He had
a punt return for a touchdown in one of them games that put him over the top. He's he does it all. He's on the freaking punt team.
That's what I'm saying, like, man.
Wide receiver on the punt team.
They got to give it to him. If he don't win it this year, this is definitely a quarterback award, man. 105 catches. If he don't
win it this year, who the hell is going to win, though? How do you justify that? How do you justify giving it to anybody else?
I can't, but let's hope. And it's interesting. Like, I wonder when they stopped the Heisman voting. Like, was it it after
after the SEC title game.
SEC title game, that's what I'm saying. Because you know, they usually announce it the weekend after the title games, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
So I don't know how they decided when it ended. I
hope they were still collecting votes until yesterday.
Yeah.
Because what we saw from one of the other Heisman quarterbacks, who shall go nameless, was ridiculous. One of the most pathetic displays of quarterbacking that I've seen.
And I didn't like how they kept calling that quarterback power or whatever. They were down 3 touchdowns and they were running the ball. I didn't get that at all.
Like, why are you doing that? Like, that ship has sailed. He's not winning the freaking award, bro.
Yeah, I don't
look what he's doing in this big moment. Sorry.
Nah, I'm right there with you.
I like to talk about trash like that. But
yeah. Yeah, well,
even if it is from Texas.
The Heisman presentation will be Tuesday, which is when you hear this, tonight, on ESPN virtually, obviously. So we'll get back to these predictions as well. Oh, well, we'll be back on, I'm trying to think. The game is on Monday. So, yeah, let's just predict. We probably won't be back before with our next episode. So, yeah, Ohio State, Alabama, man. Who you got?
Buckeyes, baby.
Dane says the Buckeyes. He's putting his shirt to the camera. Ohio. Now he's spelling Ohio.
Ohio State Buckeyes. And I'm not saying this is going to be a close game. I'm talking this is going to be the game-winning touchdown in the final minutes. No, the final 30 seconds of the game. That's how good Alabama is. But this is going to have to be Justin Fields' moment.
Ohio State.
Right after Devonta Smith has his moment, then Justin Fields is going to have
his
moment.
I could be opposite of what you say, I'm going to go Bama. the Heisman Trophy winner, Devonta Smith, will catch a game-winning touchdown in the corner of the end zone.
Ooh. Perhaps.
Regardless,
go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, regardless, I think it'll be one of those all-time classic national championship games. Not gonna be a blowout like we saw last year. I think it'll be a, like you say, probably a back and forth kind of game. Either way it goes, it's gonna be close in the end.
So you said something really good.
Okay.
Touchdown, game-winning touchdown to Devonta Smith, and I was about to interrupt, but I was gonna let you finish. I'm gonna let you finish. More than likely that game winning touchdown would be on Sean Wade.
He got mixed, bro. He got mixed on that one route that I saw.
He got mixed twice on that route. I think I know what you're talking about.
Yes, twice. But yes.
Anywho, Sean Wade, for those of you who don't know, he's supposed to be one of the top rated corners, at least top 3 rated corners, after the conclusion of last year, even so much that he was going to go to the NFL. He's going to declare for the draft. But I believe the NCAA committee encouraged him to return back.
And when the Big Ten decided they were coming back to play after they said they weren't going to play this year, he was like, all right, I'm going to come back. So that helped too.
He should have just kept his butt out and just started training, because my man's been getting put on so many posters during this little short 7-game season that we've had. Well, 7 if you include. Yeah, he's been getting dogged out. And I mean, he's playing out of position. He's not an outside corner. He's a nickel. But anyways, that game winning touchdown is definitely going to be against Sean Wade. Sorry. I'm just keeping it real.
Yeah. we'll come back to these predictions. Revisit it for sure. Let's get into our nerdy stuff, my guy. We talked about when we were texting, I think we were texting back and forth about it, about Wonder Woman 84. It dropped on Christmas on both HBO Max. Dane put the
head down. I wish that I watched a movie like this.
Dane put his beanie over his eyes. So yeah, Wonder Woman 84, the sequel to Wonder Woman, came out on HBO Max and also in theaters. Let me just say, Dane, we both talked about it. DC I can't get with DC. Like, I will watch the stuff they come out with, but they have not proven that they're on Marvel's level. And I will say one thing about this.
Put it in terms of the people that understand. The DC universe is your $600 stimulus. The DC animated universe is your $2,000 stimulus. Do with that information as you wish.
Yeah, man. I don't know. Okay, now... I'm gonna tell you a gripe that I had with the movie, and then you tell me if you agree.
For sure. Bet.
Superhero movies, for me, I like there to be action. There was not enough action in this movie for me. I feel like it was a lot of talking. I know it's a movie, you're supposed to have dialogue. But in moments, and I'm not gonna spoil it for those that haven't seen it, but in moments where I felt like there should have been action and superhero stuff, there was dialogue.
Paste.
And I know you know what I'm talking about. A certain scene.
Have a dialogue. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Certain moments exactly where a superhero was supposed to be a superhero, there was dialogue instead. And that was like, and I felt so bad because like I've been waiting for this movie. Like it's, you know, we love to watch comic book movies, superhero movies, you know, especially during the quarantine in 2020 with the virus. We didn't have anything to watch. And so for this to be the first type of thing to watch, I was expecting more, man. And I didn't get it from this movie.
Mm. Yeah. I'm just going to leave it by saying some very nice things since you decided to go
ahead.
Negative.
Go ahead, bro.
I'm going to go positively. I'm sure that there was probably 100 other things I could have done with my 2 hours and 50 minutes or whatever. And that's about it. That's the most positive thing I could say about that experience. But they had potential. The first 40 minutes, I was like, okay, I can get with this. And then the later half, I was like, why did I do this? Why did I do this? But it had potential.
It had moments that had, you know, decent superhero action stuff. But I wanted more of it, and I wanted it in moments where I felt like it should have been, if that makes sense. I wanted so much more. And the first one I liked a lot. I mean, it wasn't the best superhero
The first one was the best DC movie they put out.
Yeah.
The Wonder Woman one, in my opinion, that was the best DC movie that has been put out.
Right.
It's better, you know. Yeah, I'm going to just leave it at that.
And so they already agreed that they're going to do a Wonder Woman 3 with the same director, Patty Jenkins and Gal. So hopefully they can get it together. I mean, you still got a lot of stuff coming out, and I'm still confused as to what is going on with DC with the Snyder Cut coming and how that's going to all intertwine, Flash movie, all this, the Batman, Robert Pattinson's Batman. It's so much stuff. Like, I want DC to be great. Like,
well, DC, it is great. You just have to tap into the different universe, the animated universe. And, I'm sure you haven't dived into, and but you don't expect anything from the movie universe, because that the DCEU will let you down 9 times out of 10.
Yeah. And you're telling me to keep, or you've been telling me to get into that. And from what I've seen, I agree.
Jordan Brody,
I know, guys. Yes.
They've been saying, hey, man, you need to watch, we have this conversation.
Yes. And I've also, a lot of people,
but I'm a teacher. I'm so busy with my students that I don't want to do anything about extracurricular activities and blah, blah. Nah, but
I did enjoy the Batman animated series.
Oh, yeah, that's clean.
And it's coming to HBO Max. I think it's on HBO Max now. So
it's on
there. Okay. Yeah, man. So DC, hopefully, you know, we'll table it to see what the Snyder Cut brings, because I think that's the next project that's coming from them in March. But in less than 2 weeks, Dame, MCU content will be back in force with WandaVision. And I feel like every day they're coming out with a new
same damn poster clip. Every time.
Or a clip. Yeah, man. It's
I'm small detail.
I know absolutely no idea what's going to happen in this show. But Marvel has gained so much trust from their audience and from watching what they did for the past 10 years and how Kevin Feige has like intertwined everything and made everything mean something and connecting it. Like it's like a blind trust that I have with, like, man, I don't know what it is, but I trust that it's going to be good. And I trust that it's going to always have me feeling like, okay, how is it connected or what's next with that? Like, is that something? Like, because I remember watching, I think the first, because I really wasn't in comic book movies back when Iron Man dropped in 2010. But I think I started getting into it when I watched, I want to say it was that first Winter Soldier.
The first Avengers?
Or the Avengers. I'm sorry. Yes. The Avengers movie.
That's probably right. When you, I think, I want to remember correctly. Because that's where you were getting, you were asking me a lot of questions, and I had to go and hit up my homie Juan to get all my questions answered for him, too. So I think that was, it was
that makes sense.
When you picked up and started, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. So, like, seeing what, you know, how they built everything, and, you know, we talked about this a lot. Like, is that something that you feel, too, as far as them intertwining everything, building it off the next, not necessarily making it comic, like how it is in the comics?
To answer your question, So if anything, them getting wild, getting crazy, getting creative the way that they have been, to me, it makes them more open to criticism. And it's fun critiquing movies like and shows like this, because you have so much material to pull from. So many different character arcs and so many different, I guess you could say, sequences to contradict what you're seeing now. Not in a means to be nitpicky, but just in a means to be like, to make sure that you're not putting them on this pedestal of them being above criticism, if that makes sense. I said all to say this. I like poking holes into stories and things with the MCU, because they exist. They're flawed just like any other product. But we haven't seen a series from the MCU yet. And with this being their first one, it's got to lay its mark.
Right.
And with it being with, some might say, two non-A-listing type characters, they got to be in their bag, basically. So we'll see.
And from the trailers, and
because they better come with it.
Yeah.
And they better come with it.
From the trailers, like from all the trailers they showed at the Disney Investor Show with WandaVision, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, Loki, all these shows look like movies. They look like films that are going to be on TV compared to, you know, what we've seen in the past with a superhero show, like what's on the CW as like made for television. These shows are made to be movies, and they're going to be shows, which is definitely going to be crazy and everything being intertwined. So make sure y'all, if y'all don't have Disney Plus already, borrow that login.
Y'all better hit up your cousin and borrow the login. That mug is like $7.46 total. I remember because it came up in my little bank statement.
Went up a dollar. I think they're like going to go up a dollar soon, but that dollar would be worth it.
Oh, dang. Well, borrow $2. Well, look, don't drink coffee for an entire week or how much. I don't know how much coffee is. I don't drink it, but I figure everybody who listens to this drinks coffee. So don't drink coffee for 2 weeks and you'll be able to break even. So if you really care about yourself during this shutdown, pandemic, epidemic, pandemonium, then you sacrifice that, you know, that chump change to catch that mug, or just hit up one of your family members or friends and borrow that login.
So WandaVision is going to drop January 15th, Dane. Should we do spoiler episode reactions? Mm-hmm. I think we should.
Ooh. How about we wait a week before we talk about, let's say episode one comes out on the 15th. How about we wait to talk about that for a week? That way it gives people the opportunity. Ah, shoot, that's kind of tough.
Because another one will come out the next week.
Question. I got you, B. How about we save the WandaVision content to the last 5 minutes of the podcast? Then we let people know, like, hey, this is the end of the podcast. If you continue listening, you're going to hear spoilers about blah, blah, blah. If you don't care about that, then keep listening. And then, bam.
I'm going to have to just drop it on, put some sirens, like, spoiler alert.
I don't even need to do this no more, man. I don't even know why I get paid to do this.
Why
bro.
Do we get paid? Oh, man. Another episode with my guy. We are back, 2021. Dane, I got a nice email today saying we got 3,000 downloads on the podcast. So that is something nice. Very, very cool. Shout out to our listeners and people that are spread the word. So
look, even if it's one person listening to this mug 3,000 times, shout out to you.
Yeah. So, yeah, definitely that's appreciative of that. 3,000. Missed the 3,000s. But Dane and I
just call us three stacks.
Three stacks. Dane and I have talked a lot about some stuff we want to do this year, brainstorming on some great ideas that we feel like would be really cool, and going to start brainstorming and put some stuff together, hopefully get this thing popping. But other than that, Dane, once again, it's great to be back this year, 2021.
Been an honor and a pleasure.
The duo back again. And of course, you can check out all our episodes on all the DSPs, Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, all those things. Our website is www.theduosportsandstuffpodcast.com. Dane, anything you got to say before we out?
I ain't got nothing to say except for go Buckeyes.
Dane says the Buckeyes are going to win. We'll see. Y'all be good, though. We appreciate each and every one of you. We out.
Peace.